Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. You know, you could really be a blessing to somebody if you would just encourage them to tune in to 91.5. You know, there's some great, great teaching on the radio here. And then I'm on here, too. I gotta laugh out of Paul on that one. But if you would invite somebody in, it would edify them spiritually to be able to hear the good Bible teaching that is on this wonderful radio station. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're here in this time slot, 8:30 of the morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM, as well as 99.9 FM, 94.7 FM, and 100.7 FM. All four of those stations, wherever you're at in the county, three of them are geographic signals. One of them, 1510 AM, goes all the way throughout the county. 91.5 reaches most of the county here. And we're here not because I don't have anything to do, but because we want the Word of God to dwell richly inside your heart and in your life and make all of the difference that God wants to make in your life and in my life. So right now we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6. We got to the Lord's Prayer, and we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, and we hit the part where it said, deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. And so we ended up at this point where we are talking about the Ten Commandments out of Deuteronomy chapter 5, as well as Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we hit the Ten Commandments that were delivered to Moses to deliver to the people so that they would be delivered from evil. You know, God is not always reactive in delivering us from evil, but sometimes he's proactive in delivering us from evil. He prefers to be proactive in delivering us from evil, and so he gives us the Ten Commandments. And so we have gone through, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. We are now at, you shall not steal. And today is going to be our last broadcast on this topic, you shall not steal. We've been looking for the past few broadcasts at the reasons why you don't. As a believer, even though you may have been a thief at one point in time, you are a thief no longer because you work in order to give, to be a blessing, that you might impart grace and edification to those that you speak to. You want to build people up. Instead of taking away from them, you want to be imparting to them. You want to be imparting grace. God wants to give you the victory. I know that that's might be hard to believe at times, but it really is true. God wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be more than an overcomer. On yesterday's broadcast, so, you know, we were in Ephesians chapter 4 on Friday. On yesterday's broadcast, we were in Proverbs chapter 30, where it said that the person who wrote Proverbs chapter 30 did not want to steal and profane the name of the Lord. We want the name of the Lord to be recognized as holy, as omnipotent, as powerful, as glorious, as a name that is above every name. And so in order for us to adequately communicate that, it needs to be not just the words of our mouth, but it needs to be the behavior of our life. And so we don't steal from other people, because that would make common the name of the Lord. And we want God to clearly be seen as holy in our lives. Today, I want to take you to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And it says in verse number 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, or some translations, verily, verily, some translations, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so let me see if I can summarize this principle today so that I can put it in basic terms. And that is this. As Christians, we do not steal because it is contrary to the nature of Jesus. As Christians, we are to reflect His nature and His character. When people see us, they are supposed to see Christ living in us. And we do not do anything that is going to be contrary to His nature. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there were thieves and robbers that showed up on the scene before Jesus came, and they made claims to be the Messiah. Gamaliel talked about that there were people, there had been uprisings here and uprisings there. There are people even in our day and time that they're going around and they're claiming that they are Jesus and that they're the Messiah. There are people that go around and claim that Jesus was a failure and that they have come in order to fulfill the task and do so without being defeated the way that Jesus was. There's all sorts of deception that is out there. All of that is designed to steal people away from their God desired destiny, and that is eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. A thief comes and he steals, which leads to killing, which leads to destruction, and all of that is contrary to the nature of God. Jesus said, that's not who I am. You see, the devil is always looking for something that he doesn't have to pay for. He's looking for someone that he can deceive. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is always looking for his next victim. Jesus is looking for the next person to be redeemed, the next recipient of life. Abundant life. That's the nature of God. Many of the theological discussions that people have in our current day and time are taken from a philosophical standpoint. Well, what about this particular activity? What about this particular segment of society? What about this particular behavior? What about this, is there any gray area here? Is it white? Is it black? Is it gray? Is it ombre? What's going on here? Is there a sliding scale? Is there any such thing as absolute truth? And in doing so, they get so deep into the weeds that they miss the very nature of God. You see, the nature of Jesus is that he has come that you may have life and that I may have life and that everybody around us can have life, but it's life on his terms, not on our terms. It's very important to remember that God was the offended party. When Jesus came to pay the price, he wasn't paying the price so that the devil could be appeased. He was paying the price so that the righteousness and the justice of God would be satisfied. He didn't want you and I to be trapped in our sins. He looked at us and said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, as it says in the minor prophets. Multitudes. He looked around and saw that humanity was dead in their trespasses and sin, that all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he said, this is unacceptable. This is not what I intended for humanity. It is contrary to my nature. And then there are people who do the opposite, and they think that, well, the Bible says that God is love. Well, that is absolutely true. But the Bible also talks about the whole nature of God, not just a partial nature of God, and that his wrath is equal to his mercy. That's a biblical statement. Too many people are having philosophical arguments, and they don't factor in what the Bible says is the nature of God. So society thinks that they're evolving, but they don't realize that according to the nature of God, he does not evolve. He does not change. They look at the Word of God and they say, well, I don't believe that, not realizing that the nature of God is that it is impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to be defeated. It is the nature of God. So when you look at this, you realize that as a child of God, God has come not to steal things from you, not to steal opportunity from you, not to steal relationships from you, not to steal joy from you, but he came exactly for the opposite reason, and that is he came to destroy the thief who was doing all of those things. Stealing is the nature of the kingdom of darkness. It's what the devil does. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known for having any part in what the devil does. I don't want that to be reflective of my nature, of my character. I want to be reflecting life as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so there was, we had our general counsel here a couple of weeks ago. And you know, people were asking, you know, what type of clothing should we plan for? Are we doing suits and ties? Well, I'll tell you, I don't do a lot of suits and ties during the week in Florida. And so there were a lot of native Floridians that were making comments. You're going to be doing a lot of walking, and it's going to be walking outside. It's probably going to be rainy and stuff like that. So they were trying to prepare them. And I simply said this: plan on it being really hot outside and really cold on the inside. That's the way I did. But there was somebody that said, well, shouldn't we reflect in our clothing the fact that we are an ambassador, because we are ambassadors for Christ? That used to be what our youth group was called when I was in youth group, that we were Christ's ambassadors. We had our own song and everything. And nobody sings that anymore. The truth of the matter is, We are Christ's ambassadors, but it doesn't matter whether you wear shorts on Saturdays or not. You know, I would hope that we've gone beyond the argument over the trivial matters, and we're able to embrace the nature of God. So Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have it to the full, or have it abundantly. So if we're considering an action, if we're considering a lifestyle, should we not look back at the nature of God? And should we not say, Did Jesus die on the cross in order for me to have this? So too many people get caught up in their carnal nature, the way that they perceive their carnal nature, and they perceive their carnal nature as being irrevocable, irredeemable, unchangeable. And therefore, because it is their carnal nature, that God must have made them with that carnal nature, and that they don't have to change from that. But I don't know about you, but if a person had a desire to kill people, I would want that changed. If a person was known as a thief, thank God that that can change. The fact that Jesus died on the cross between two thieves, and he looked at the one who repented and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I want you to see how quickly God can change a person's destiny. Now, I will tell you this. There was a time when I went with my mother to the grocery store. I can still tell you the name of the store. I can still tell you where we parked at the grocery store. And when we got out into the parking lot, she found an item in my possession that we had not paid for. And this is how I was raised, okay? After she got done loading the groceries into the car, she marched me back into the store with the item that I had procured without paying for, walked up, asked to see the store manager, and had me confess to the store manager that I had just stolen this candy bar. I tell you that what that does is it will make a lasting impact on you, even if you are very, very young. I would think I was like 4 or 5 or 6 years old. I can still remember that event. I can still remember also losing sight of my mother in that grocery store and freaking out over that. And I ended up working in that grocery store for a number of years later on when I was a teenager. But I tell you what, my mother wanted to make sure from a very early age that I knew that I was not destined to be a thief, because that doesn't reflect the nature of Jesus Christ. And today, I just want to let you know, God's not looking for you to see other people as your next victim. He's looking at you and me, and he is wanting to develop in us a mindset that we look at people and say, they're the next person that I get to represent Jesus to. Now, I've had some things stolen from me through the years, and not one time did it ever make me feel good. You know what I have done? I have given away. I've given away cars. I've given away cars that didn't function anymore. I've given away cars that did function. I've given away cars that had air conditioners, and the vehicle that I ended up with didn't have an air conditioner. I don't have a problem giving away things, but I do have a problem when people come and take things. So I can't tell you exactly what year this was, but it was more than 20 years ago. We had an old mower at the church, and I was mowing. It was an old Craftsman mower. It was old it was given to the church, and slow. It was so slow that one of the men from the church came to help us mow the grass at that point in time, which our church sits on about a half an acre of land, and we were having a work day, and so part of that was mowing the grass before Sunday, and he hopped on this old Craftsman riding mower. He made 2 passes on it. He got off of that thing and said, "Give me that push mower." He would push the mower faster than the riding mower. was working. I still remember that. Well, I was on that riding mower one day, and up by the church. I mean, it wasn't by the street. It was by the church, not visible from the street really. And the transmission went out. You could not push it. It would not roll forward. It would not roll backwards. It was absolutely, completely, and totally stuck. And I went in to the church building, and I came back out a little bit later, and I walked past where the mower was, and then all of a sudden I did a double take because someone had come and picked it up and carried it off and was nowhere to be seen. Now, if you do that, smile, because you're on candid camera. But at that point in time, it was like, first of all, I don't ever want to mess with the person who can pick up a riding mower and just carry it away without anybody hearing or seeing them. That person is not to be messed with as far as I'm concerned. They're bigger and stronger than I am. But I didn't like it. You know what? If they'd asked me for it, I probably would have went ahead and given it to them. But instead, they self-appropriated instead of waiting for God to bless them. I will tell you this. The devil intends on your destruction. He plans on your destruction. He works for your destruction. But Jesus came so that you could have abundant life, not just existence, but actually thriving in your relationship with God. That's the goodness and the greatness of our God. So as you are evaluating the things in your life, whether it's what you believe, whether it's how you behave or how you live, how you treat other people, the goal of this lesson is quite simply to ask you to think about the nature of God. Not just what would Jesus do, but what does the nature of God say about this? God, who did not withhold his son, will not withhold any good thing from you. He will pour out everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. Stealing says, I can't live without what that person has, so I'm going to go ahead and take that myself. Waiting upon God and trusting in God says, you know what? God's not going to withhold from me anything that I have need of. And so I either don't need it or I don't need it right now, but I know this, everything that I need for a thriving, abundant, absolutely overflowing life, Jesus is going to make sure that I have it. Now, I will tell you this, it is not going to happen independent of the body of Christ. You and I need one another. Our grace, our understanding of grace, our relationship with God, it is designed to provoke us to each of us to good works. So someone posted on one of my Facebook groups, what is the name of your men's ministry? Well, our men's ministry is called Iron Men, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We're designed to make each other better. That's what our men's ministry is all about. It's a relatively small group of men. So when we get together, now our last Iron Men's breakfast we had at a diner. We had that because one of our men got promoted into the eternal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last men's breakfast that he had, I remember very distinctly. So we went back and we honored our promoted brother at that place. This coming Iron Men's Breakfast, which will be, as soon as I can find my calendar here, August the 24th. We will probably have that back at our fellowship hall, and we'll have a great time. And there we get to have a little bit more dialogue and discussion and things like that. But we're going to try and provoke one another to become more and more like Jesus on each and every day. We had a yard sale many, many, many years ago. My wife said, God spoke to me about having a free yard sale. And so now we had done yard sales and worked hard and ended up getting like $15 or $20 in those yard sales. And I said, I'm done doing yard sales. But when it came time to be a blessing to our community, I had no problem with that. More work and more reward too. I'll tell you, a lot of people just have a hard time taking free for an answer. But on this particular day, when we were having this yard sale, I went outside. Our sanctuary was full. We were going to have church the next day, so everything's got to go. And so I went outside and I said, I want you all to know that everything, absolutely everything in here is free. And a guy asked me a question, and it was this: do you have the authority to make that declaration? And I looked at him and I laughed because nobody had asked me that question up until then. But it's like, you know what? That's a really good question. Actually, I'm the pastor. I do have the authority to let you know this is an event about blessing. You know what happened as we reached out to bless our community? There were people who gave I think it was a couple of $100 ended up coming in that we put right into our missions fund, because they said, you know what? We want to be a blessing to you. If you and I will realize that God is not looking for us to be a thief because it doesn't fit with his nature. He wants us to be a giver because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is a giver, and you will never be able to outgive God, but it sure is fun living life, reflecting the abundant life and the giving nature of our God. Jesus is not only a living being, he is a life-giving spirit, and you and I are called to be life givers as well. Be a life giver at home. Be a life giver to your kids. Be a life giver at work. Be a life giver in your neighborhood. Be a blessing to those people, because giving is a much better way to live than stealing. God bless you. I hope this series on Thou Shalt Not Steal has been a blessing to you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
With a grateful heart for your love.